Hello, it is the end of our summer vacation week here on the Atlas Obscura podcast. We hope you've enjoyed these stories from around the world that made us think about summer. Now, we want to hear about your summers. We want to hear about your best summer trips, your best long road trips, your lazy days floating down a river. You know, what are your summer adventures? To tell us, you can give us a ring at 315-992-7902. It cuts you off after about 3 minutes, but you can also send a voice memo of any length, I mean, within some kind of reason, any reasonable length, to hello@atlasobscura.com. We hope to hear from you soon. Now, on to the show, and we hope that you are enjoying the beautiful summer days out there. You ready? All right. Today, the house on the rock. This, it honestly, like, it gives me the feeling of, like, what a kid going to Disneyland has to feel like. Like, I want to grab everyone and shake them and be like, do you have any idea what you're about to see?
Well, have you struggled with it as much as me, like, describing what this is to people?
It's almost impossible. We start each episode by saying that this is a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. And well, the House on the Rock is almost impossible to describe. I honestly think that the best way to start describing it is strange, incredible, and wondrous. And in all honesty, I don't know that there would be an Atlas Obscura without the House on the Rock.
Here we are.
Oh, really? On this episode, we go deep into the House on the Rock. After this.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app. Only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For your next vacation spot, check out Texas for their vast landscape of culture, regions, destinations, and activities. Explore 350 miles of coastline and every kind of hiking trail, from strenuous to wheelchair accessible. Enjoy world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. Travel Texas even offers an online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
All right, there's Taliesin.
Yeah, so we're, in Spring Green, Wisconsin, driving by Taliesin, Frank Lloyd Wright's famous rural Wisconsin home. But we are not going there. That is not what we are interested in today. The first time I went to the House on the Rock, I was only like 12 and my parents took me as part of a road trip, and it just like completely enraptured me. I could not believe that a place like that existed in the world. And I still feel this way. My feeling about it hasn't changed that much, actually. We are arriving. These big, weird plant sculptures covered with dragons and go under this big gate.
Okay, here we go. Now we're walking through the entrance of the house. It is carpeted, the ceiling. This is the rock.
The rock is in the house.
Yeah.
Hi, Harry. Hello. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
This is Harry Huggins. Harry is a producer for a few Stitcher's other shows. What we've been hearing is tape from when you and I visited together back in July. Hearing it again, it's like watching old home movies. It's like, it makes me so excited all over.
I know. I'm right back there. But I assume everyone else is wondering what's going on.
Has no idea.
Like, there's nowhere that you could begin that would make sense, I don't think.
So here's where I think we should begin. I'm going to tell you the story that I was told about it when I was 12 and visited for the first time. So this is the story I heard. that there was once a young Wisconsin architect named Alex Jordan Jr. who wanted to work for the famous architect Frank Lloyd Wright. And Frank Lloyd Wright was working nearby on Taliesin. And the young architect, you know, got his courage together and took architectural drawings to show Frank Lloyd Wright. And Frank Lloyd Wright took one look at them and said, I wouldn't hire you to build a chicken coop. And
okay, but
look, listen, this is the story I heard. This is the story I know. And anyway, the architect went back home, but he wasn't going to give up. And to spite Frank Lloyd Wright, he began building his own crazy sort of prairie school on steroids building, what I sometimes call a kind of a Frank Lloyd Wrong, on this great tower of rock that overlooked Taliesin. But even that wasn't enough. And after he built it, he started expanding and expanding and filling it with collections of armors, of dolls, of circuses. And he built and built and added until he had created this incredible house you're standing in now, young Dylan. And that young architect, Alex Jordan Jr., was the single greatest creative mind that Wisconsin has ever produced. The end. This is the story that I was told basically when I went to House on the Rock.
So about that version of the story.
Yeah. Don't you? This is my childhood memory. but I know that, it's.
You know it's not true.
I know it's not quite true. So Harry, what is the real story of this incredible place?
Okay, so Alex Jordan Jr. was a real person. He was born in 1914 in Madison, Wisconsin, where he lived most of his life. He went to University of Wisconsin-Madison, but dropped out after a year, came from a pretty well-off family. He had odd jobs like a taxi driver, but he mostly helped his dad maintain an apartment building the family owned.
Sounding very like standard person. So how did he go to creating something as singular as the House on the Rock?
Well, so it started in the 40s. So there's part of Wisconsin he lives in is pretty hilly with lots of big rocks. It's called the Wisconsin Dells. There's a big rock known as Deer Shelter Rock. And this rock sticks up 75 feet above the surrounding forest. And the top is an uneven platform, roughly the size of an Olympic swimming pool. Hmm. It served as a picnicking spot for locals. But Alex Jordan Jr. liked the spot so much that he worked out an agreement with the landowner to let him build a small cabin on the rock to serve as his own personal retreat.
But from there, obviously, it grew in scale.
Yeah, a lot. he basically expanded the house to be like 13 rooms, very mid-century modern style. You can tell it's inspired by Japanese architecture, even if it doesn't really adhere to the same principles of minimalism. And the inside is truly unique.
Yeah.
You know, there's trees and bits of the real rock itself sticking out everywhere. Very low ceilings, huge limestone fireplaces, built-in couches with shag carpeting everywhere. And most importantly, you could look out into the forest below thanks to these giant windows cantilevered out over the forest.
And so my guy, Alex, was basically kind of living a pretty, like, swanky life. He had this, like, cool palatial estate on top of this rock that his dad helped fund. And he was, like, just, like, throwing parties in this place, right? He was kind of hanging out.
Yeah, he invited a bunch of the intellectuals from, like, the artists and the writers and stuff from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and they would come and have parties at this house.
I would love to go to a party.
I know. I'm sad I didn't get an invite.
Totally. But still, that's still a far cry from the thing that you and I spent hours walking through this summer. What happened to transform it from just a cool guy's house into the thing it is today?
Well, people were coming up to see if they could come and look inside the house because it looked pretty cool and you could see it from the highway. Basically, his dad was like, you need to start charging admission for this. So he did.
Yeah, so he would take all this admission money he was making and basically just, like, turn it back into expanding the place, and just filling it with this incredible set of unusual objects.
Yeah, he built and built and built more places to hold all these tchotchkes he was collecting, some East Asian art, Tiffany lamps, these weird collections that were all around the Midwest, and some old museums that were shutting down. He collected a lot of these really cool player pianos, and then also some kind of creepy things.
So we're looking at a tiny little box, a little diorama scene of a man lying in bed, and it's called The Dying Drunkard. And you put a token into it, and it's a little piece of automata. So it starts, the drunkard starts sort of moving around in bed, writhing, lifting his arms, and little skeletons and devils are like popping out all over the place. It's a pretty dark scene, done in a very kind of like cute, charming way.
And the description just says, The Dying Drunkard, British Railroad Station, 1870.
One token.
And it's just tiny figurines that just like a little bit of animation. And these are real.
I've seen this scene.
So that's just one of the many of these little dioramas scattered around. But it's really not scratching the surface. Like, not even close.
Not even close.
And once Alex sees that he can make some money from the house, he begins to really dream big.
Really, really big.
Wow.
You are suddenly in a gigantic room, enormous, and taking up the center of the entire room is a sculpture of a giant squid fighting a sperm whale, and it is the size of the Statue of Liberty. If you laid the Statue of Liberty down on its side, it's this big. It is...
Oh, I got this. So, this is what pretty much all our tape from the House of Rock is like. I mean, we try to have a moment just to, like, talk, but the house just won't allow a moment of silence. You know, you can't just have a whale. You have to have an automated music machine blaring Octopus's Garden.
I mean, I honestly love it. To help give even a rough sense of what is inside the House on the Rock, we are going to do a volley. I'm going to basically say something that I remember, and then you respond with something that you remember. So there is a collection of medieval armor.
Oh, yeah. There's also the medieval armor posed recreating these battles with, like, elephants and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
With gory, gory battle scenes.
There is a huge wing that is nothing but immaculate miniature circuses.
And right next to that, there is a, like, three-story carousel, miniature carousel, completely full of terrifying dolls, like staring you in the face and telling you that you're going to die.
There is a collection of weird antique guns, which some are it is suspicious whether they are real or not.
There's these fake Rube Goldberg machines, giant, taking up huge chunks of the room right next to just a pizza place that you can buy pizza at.
That's right. That's the, like, one stop for food. There's a room that has 400 mannequins turned into angels on the top of it for no obvious reason.
It makes the wall of taxidermied owls seem pretty tame.
It the list truly goes, like, on and on and on.
It is really spectacle after spectacle.
Yeah.
But despite being spectacular, not everything is quite as it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these collections are actually... manufactured, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's interesting. You know, if you take a close look, like, you'll find that the Tiffany lamps aren't actually Tiffany lamps. They were made by a different company called Bauer and Cobble. And in fact, in the 70s, an employee at the house complained to the Justice Department in Wisconsin, saying that basically they were defrauding people by having signs that claimed these were authentic antiques as opposed to... things that were sometimes made inside the house. And this is one of the things about being in there. It's like there are parts of the house that have real trees growing through them. And then there are parts that have identical fake trees. But you don't necessarily take the time to differentiate because it's never been – I don't think the point was ever provenance. Like, it's a pure, unbridled visual spectacle. And I think – people still really want to believe that this was one guy, one kind of eccentric billionaire who, like, collected these things and everything costs $1 million. But there's another story that gets kind of lost in this, which is that it's not just Alex Jordan who's behind this. There's actually an incredible group of artists who helped create these things.
Right, and many of them helped design, like, some of the biggest attractions there. Like, there was John Havensack, who helped make the Mikado, which is my favorite music machine there. And he worked with Terry English, who is the official armorer to Queen Elizabeth II. And this guy was making bits of armor to add to the House on the Rock armor collection.
Right. So, like, Alex Jordan Jr., what he did do was bring together carpenters, gardeners, metal workers, sculptors, painters, electronics experts. He even had a real team of antiques buyers and collectors who found him stuff out in the world. So all of this is to say that although these kind of myths, the way I thought about the house when I was 12, isn't quite right, and it was this big collaborative effort, it still was Alex Jordan's vision to create the space for all these artists to build the House on the Rock. And so I think of it basically as an art collective, as one massive, immersive folk art experience that is just, there's nothing else like it in the world.
And that is perfectly embodied in the last stop on our tour, which was a collaboration with the artist Tom Every.
I think this might be my favorite room, the organ room. It is unreal.
This is like the most steampunk room I've ever been
existence.
In. There are giant mash tuns and kettles and boil kettles and stuff from breweries and
mixers with enormous organs.
I think I've been told that, or read that this is multiple ones combined.
That makes a lot of sense.
It has to be, because there's 1,000 buttons, like more than 1,000 buttons. And then, obviously, in the middle of the room, you have to have what they call the world's biggest chandelier.
It was a perfect metaphor for the house. It's not the world's biggest chandelier, exactly. It's like 200 smaller chandeliers pushed together.
Yeah, well, the smaller chandeliers are made up of other lamps.
Right. Right, exactly.
It's wild.
This is one of the rooms for me that most embodies the idea that this is art. This is just someone's vision of how to make a spectacularly visually incredible space. And it doesn't need coherence. It doesn't need to explain itself. It just needs to be strange and beautiful and magical, and like it achieves that, you know what I mean? Like, it really achieves that. And the best spaces in the house, they don't need to explain themselves to you at all. They can just exist, and you have to explain yourself to them.
Harry, thank you. I had so much fun going to the House on the Rock with you.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. And we skipped over plenty of extraordinary parts of the House on the Rock, so you'll still have some surprises in store if you ever make it out to Spring Green.
You'll have a lot of surprises in store.
I could not recommend it enough. I honestly tell anyone I know who's going anywhere near it to make time to go there.
And I should say that those giant flower pots with the dragons that we saw on the way in, they were designed by Tom Kupsch, who wrote the biography of Alex Jordan and the House on the Rock. And he gets into all of this background. The book is called Never Enough, The Creative Life of Alex Jordan, and was indispensable in researching this episode, which was produced by the wonderful Harry Huggins. The rest of our production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Willis Ryder Arnold,
Sarah Wyman,
Manolo Morales,
Tracy Samuelson,
John Delore,
Peter Clowney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
Our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall, and this episode was sound designed by
John Delore
and mixed by
Luce Fleming.
I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I will see you next time. Thanks for coming on this journey with us.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure that you're always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.